This Roto Report is brought to you by Joe Laser with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Joe Laser at Laser Insurance and Financial Services at 330-722-4444. Well, the NFL draft has come and gone, and the Cleveland Browns went into the draft with 10 picks. They ended up with 6 draft picks, and let's take a look at what they did and give you our grade of not only the Cleveland Browns, but the rest of the teams in the AFC North. We'll start, though, with the homestanding Browns and the players that they picked. Two guys in the first round. At first, they were at number 4. Looked like they might take Sammy Watkins, the wide receiver from Clemson. Instead, they traded down to number 9 to Buffalo. They pick up Buffalo's pick this year, which was number 9, and a first and fourth round pick next year. Buffalo takes Sammy Watkins. The Browns move down to 9. Then they decide, for whatever reason, to move back up to 8 with the Minnesota Vikings, make a trade with the Vikings. And at number 8, they take cornerback Justin Gilbert out of Oklahoma State. They had him rated as the best cornerback in the class, as well as one of their top players on their board. And Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer, I mentioned this the other day, I think it was talking with Andy Baskin and Jeff Phelps, about how Farmer in Kansas City, they drafted defensive players in the first round. Mike Pettine's a former defensive coordinator. He wants an aggressive, attacking, in-your-face, tough defense. And so what do they want to do? They want to blitz. When you blitz, what do you have to have? Corners that can press man coverage and be aggressive and try and hold the guys up at the line of scrimmage. Now, is that Justin Gilbert's forte? No, but what he's good at is covering down the field. Always seems to be around the ball, able to make a play on the ball. He's kind of one of those mirror corners. He mirrors you. He covers you. And he's not a great tackler. So if his guy does catch the ball, that could be an issue. But if his guy doesn't catch it, he doesn't have to worry about tackling. So they go with Justin Gilbert. And the scouting report on Gilbert, 6 foot, 202 pounds, runs a 4.36 40-yard dash, had 6 kickoff returns, as well at Oklahoma State. He was ranked 7th by our guys at ourlads.com, who I respect very, very much. What they liked about him: long arms. He was a first team All-American, great hips, and like I said, always in good position to make a play on the ball. The bad on him, the negatives we mentioned: not a good tackler, misses some tackles that he should make, and I don't want to say he's the next Deion Sanders, but he's that type of player, a finesse player, a cover corner, and not a wrap-up guy. He also needs to work on his technique and getting closer to guys at the line of scrimmage, not allowing them to separate easily. In college, he was able to make up for that because of his great athletic ability. In the pros, it's not going to be as easy. So he has some fundamental things he needs to work on. So the Browns at number 8 take Justin Gilbert. Then you sit there and you hear that the Browns are trying to trade back up. And everybody thinking, oh, trying to trade up maybe with Tennessee at 11 to get Johnny Manziel. What's Dallas going to do at 16 when the Browns didn't trade up? Is Dallas going to take Johnny Manziel at 16, or might the Browns trade with Dallas? They didn't do that. So you're sitting there waiting and you're waiting. You're hearing the Browns reportedly like Johnny Manziel, and they're doing everything they can maybe to move back up. And finally, they do. They move up from 26, the pick they got in the Trent Richardson trade from Indianapolis. They move up to 26 to number 22 with the Philadelphia Eagles. And here's how this baby went down. I heard Sal Palantonio saying the same thing. At 22, the Philadelphia Eagles had a player in mind. And so Chip Kelly was hoping that Brandon Cooks would be there at 22. When New Orleans moved up and traded with Arizona at pick number 20 and took Brandon Cooks, then that's when the Browns made their move, because they had previous conversations with Philadelphia about maybe moving up to 22 in front of Kansas City, who was looking for a quarterback. And the Browns knew if they didn't move in front of Kansas City at 23, they probably wouldn't get their hands on Johnny Manziel. So they called Philadelphia, made the trade, move up to 22, and take Johnny Football, Johnny Cleveland, Johnny Manziel, and the place goes absolutely crazy in New York. Fans in Cleveland are going absolutely nuts, and the first day for the Cleveland Browns, outstanding. They get an extra first-round pick next year. They move down. Yeah, they passed on Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans, a couple of wide receivers they could have used, and we'll get to the Josh Gordon stuff here in a bit, but They go out and they make some impactful moves. They made some unique trades. They were aggressive. and they had two guys targeted in that first round that they wanted, according to their general manager, Ray Farmer, and they went out and they got him in Justin Gilbert and in Johnny Manziel. So after day one, it's looking really good. I gave the Browns an A after day one because of how aggressive they were and getting their top cornerback on their board and their number one or number two quarterback on their board. So it looked great after day one. Then day two comes, and you're thinking, all right, got to get a wide receiver in day two, rounds two and three. Got to find a wide receiver somewhere in rounds two and three, right? And then we get the word that Josh Gordon looks like he could be suspended for the entire year. He could be done for the entire year. Third strike in the substance abuse policy with the National Football League. That's how day two started for the Cleveland Browns. So all the positive momentum, positivity, if you will, that you build up after day one, that balloon bursts. And now you're starting rounds two and three thinking you might not have arguably the best receiver in football last year. He could be suspended for the entire year. So do you address the wide receiver position in round two or round three? You're thinking probably, right? They'll have two picks in those rounds to start that they could go out and based on what happened in the first round that they would go out and try and pick up a receiver that would be left. Because there were a number of receivers that were still on the board after the first. Marquise Lee was still there. I think Dante Moncrief was still there. Jordan Matthews, Allen Robinson, Cody Latimer, Martavis Bryant. All those guys were still there. You're thinking, all right, in round two or round three, they're going to get one of those guys because of the situation with Josh Gordon. Well, turns out that they knew about the Josh Gordon thing, and they wanted to stick to their board with best player available, as well as maybe some need. And in day two, in rounds two and three, they get Joel Batonio, the offensive guard, offensive tackle from Nevada in round two. Then in round three, they take Christian Kirksey, the linebacker out of Iowa. And in round four, Terrence West, the running back. Check that. In round three, before they get to round four, they get Terrence West, the running back, out of Towson. So here they are, one, two, three, four, five picks in, knowing they need a wide receiver and they don't draft one. And for me, that's somewhat concerning because the guys on the roster, nobody jumps out at you. There's no replacement for Josh Gordon if indeed he is lost for the entire year. On the third day, still have a chance to go get a receiver, and they fail to do so there as well as they pick up Pierre Desir, the cornerback from Lindenwood, the small college. So they started with 10 picks. They end up using 6 picks. Don't take a wide receiver, possibly lose their number one wide receiver. They get their, what they think is their franchise quarterback. They get their number one guy as far as who they took first in the first round, Justin Gilbert. But still some questions surrounding this team's roster and what they're going to do at the wide receiver position. But let's remember they did get a first-round pick next year, a fourth-round pick next year, and a sixth-round pick. So let's put this all together and tell you why I gave the Browns a B- in this draft. Loved day one, as I said. Got an A for me in day one. But then the Josh Gordon news, not taking the wide receiver, taking a couple of small college players that are, hey, they look great on film, but can they do it against NFL-level talent? West and Desir, that is yet to be seen. I don't like the Kirksey pick out of Iowa, the linebacker, and Batonio, however you pronounce it. I hope I'm getting it right out of Nevada. Yeah, they needed help on the offensive line, but I thought they could get that in round three or four and get that wide receiver in round two that they needed after passing on Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans. So when it was all said and done for Ray Farmer in his first draft as general manager of the Cleveland Browns, I gave the Browns a B-. Now, the other teams in the division, I gave all the other teams in the division, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Bengals, all Bs. Here's why. For me, Baltimore failed to address their offensive line needs. They went out, they took C.J. Mosley, the inside linebacker. That does fill a big need for them in the first round. Good pick. They also got defensive tackle Tim Jernigan, a first-round talent. He falls to them in the second round, and Ozzie snapped him up in a heartbeat. And they go out and they get Keith Wenning, The kid from Ball State, an interesting prospect at quarterback, and I had him down as one of my sleeper picks, and Ozzie did a nice job getting that, but didn't have that, in my opinion, hit it out of the park home run move, like the Browns did in day one, right? Getting Johnny Manziel, we don't know if he's going to be able to be the starting quarterback from day one, but he sold 2,500 tickets in 24 hours, so the buzz was there. Ozzie didn't get that, in my opinion, that buzz guy, that home run guy, but another solid draft for the Baltimore Ravens and Ozzie Newsome. Now, talking about the Cincinnati Bengals here. Talk about getting lucky. My goodness gracious. Here's a team that's picking 24th. They won the division last year. They lose in the first round of the playoffs, but they're the best the division had to offer last year. They're picking all the way down to 24, and they need cornerback help in the worst way. And who falls into their lap but Darquez Dennard? And we'll get to the Steelers here in a second, but for whatever reason, Pittsburgh passes on, I thought, the best corner in the draft from Michigan State, Darquez Dennard. He falls right into the laps of the Cincinnati Bengals. So they, in the first round, got as good a first-round pick as anybody, in my opinion, in the entire draft, considering where they were picking, the player that was available to them, and their need. Trifecta. Hat trick for them. Great first pick for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm not huge on Jeremy Hill, the running back they grabbed out of LSU. Others are. They think he can be a nice complement to Bernard, the kid they picked up last year, who's more of the slash and dash guy. Hill's more of the power runner and everything, so they're high on him. And they did get A.J. McCarron as he dropped to them in the fifth round, and that'll be interesting to see how that plays out because Andy Dalton, to me, isn't the quarterback of the future for the Cincinnati Bengals. He's 0-3-3 playoff games, and he just, for me, doesn't do it. So they do go after a quarterback in the fifth round, and A.J. McCarron, and it was interesting to see McCarron fall that far, and then some of his comments afterwards, because there were people saying that the reason he fell that far was that he didn't have good interviews, and he wasn't all about football at that time when he was doing the interviews, so that made him fall down to the fifth round. We'll see if he uses that chip on his shoulder now to go in there to Cincinnati and battle to be the backup quarterback to Andy Dalton, and then who knows, in the future, does he end up being the starter. So when we look at the Bengals, love their first pick in Darquez Dennard. Their other picks, Bodine, the kid they got at center from North Carolina, that was a need. That filled a hole for them. And so where they were picking, they did a nice job and got an impact player in Dennard. I gave them a B. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I thought, failed to address their biggest need, and that was at cornerback. They did so in the fifth round. They picked up a kid in the fifth round, but they had Darquez Dennard staring them right in the face at pick number 15, and instead they took a linebacker in Ryan Shazier. And you know me, I'm a Buckeye fan, and I've watched this kid play for 3 years. I thought he was overrated. To me, he made a lot of tackles, led, I think, the Big Ten in tackles, had over 300 tackles in his time at Ohio State. But how many impactful plays did he make in big games? That's what I look for guys that are going to go in the first round and be considered, you know, a star in the league. And for me, Shazier did not do that. Great kid, great athlete. He wowed them with his numbers, a 4.3 40 time, and the 300-plus tackles at Ohio State and 40-plus tackles for losses at Ohio State. But it wasn't the toughest conference the last couple of years, and he racked up those numbers against some teams that weren't elite talent teams. So I thought they dropped the ball big time and failed by not picking Darquez Dennard at 15 and taking Ryan Shazier, and then Dennard ends up falling to Cincinnati. So not only do they not pick him, now they got to play against him twice a year, and that's going to be a chip on Darquez Dennard's shoulder going against the Steelers, who could have taken him at 15. The reason that there was maybe some deliberation and some debate at 15 for the Steelers is they wanted Justin Gilbert, who the Browns took at 8. They had him rated very, very high, looking where they were going to pick. They thought Gilbert might fall to them at 15 when he wasn't there. Okay, they liked Eric Ebron, and they liked Odell Beckham Jr. Ebron, the tight end, Beckham Jr., the wide receiver. Well, guess what? At number 10, the Lions took Ebron, and then at number 12, the Giants took Beckham Jr. So their top three guys that they thought they'd have a shot at least one of those three at 15, not on the board. So all of a sudden, at 15 there, do they go best player available? Do they go a linebacker? Do they go cornerback? They went linebacker and took Ryan Shazier. I also thought they reached, like they did with Shazier in the third round, from Dre Archer from Kent State. Now, if they use him strictly as a return guy, that's fine. But to use a third-round pick on a return guy, boy, that's reaching for me. Yeah, you love watching him run 4.26 40, but if he gets hit, is he going to be able to get back up at the NFL level? So I thought their first-round pick and their third-round pick were reaches. But I loved their second-round pick. I thought they did a great job in getting some help in the second round on the defensive line, because that's an area that is an area of big need for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Tuitt from Notre Dame, defensive tackle, defensive end. You might be able to play him at both. A great pickup there. First-round talent, getting him in the second round. Martavis Bryant, they get a receiver. They needed receiver help. They get him in the fourth round. Shaquille Richardson was the Arizona cornerback that they finally picked up in the fifth round. And they got a linebacker, Zumwalt from UCLA, who they feel can be a Steeler linebacker as well. So they addressed their defense and they addressed speed. And so for that, their overall grade, I gave the Steelers a B. So let's recap. Browns, B minus because of the whole Josh Gordon situation. They didn't address the wide receiver situation. Johnny Manziel, hey, they got their quarterback. They think of the future, but a lot of people think he's not going to make it in the NFL. He's too small, not going to be able to withstand the punishment that he'll take, especially in the AFC North, and weather could be a factor in games in Cincy, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cleveland, especially in November and December. So when you look at everything, B minus for the Browns, B for the Steelers, a B for the Ravens, and a B for the Cincinnati Bengals. So that's how I graded the AFC North and what they did in this year's NFL draft. We'll see how it plays out. Obviously, this is just judging it by looking at film from college, looking at stats and information on paper, and how they stack up against other guys. We'll know more in 2 or 3 years which general manager got it right. Was it Ray Farmer of the Cleveland Browns? Was it Ozzie Newsome of the Baltimore Ravens? Was it the owner and acting general manager Mike Brown of the Cincinnati Bengals, or was it Kevin Colbert of the Pittsburgh Steelers? It takes 2 to 3 years to find out what type of draft you really had. Let's hope that this year's Browns draft is better than the ones they've had in recent years. Hope you enjoyed this Roto Report. It was brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs at 330-722-4444, or check them out online at Laser Insurance.com. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.